This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses.
Welcome to episode 117. It is Dr. Jimmy. I am loving being back in the swing of things, and I've had a ton of awesome questions coming in for episode requests. People ask me a lot if I will ever run out of things to talk about, and I tell them no, not with the kind of listener questions that pour in every week. I mean, I have a huge bank of questions to pull from, plus my own experiences with my little crew of horses, and then, of course, all of the horses that I'm connected to through the Blue Bonnet Feeds and the Stride Animal Health teams of consultants. So honestly, I can't see an end in sight for these episodes. I think the biggest risk in me stopping these podcasts is really just when I hit the point where I feel like people are not appreciating them, or I'm not feeling like I'm making a positive difference in the lives of horses and their owners. And there's really only one way for me to know if those things are happening, and that's for me to hear from y'all. I mean, this is a 100% free podcast, everybody. You do not have to pay a single penny to get access to these episodes in full. I know some podcasts that will release, you know, half the episode, and then they'll make you go to this paid platform to get the rest. And at least up to this point, and in the foreseeable future, these podcasts from Feed Room Chemist are all yours all the time at no charge. Okay. So the only thing that I'm asking you to do is please go fill my tank with positive reviews. Give me some supportive comments. Go to my social channels and share the heck out of this thing. I want to touch as many horse owners as possible. And the only way that can happen is if people know about the podcast. So the next time that you see crazy things happening on social media about what to feed or how to supplement, take a minute, drop a link to the Feed Room Chemist. I mean, with 117 episodes so far to choose from, there's a really good chance that whatever topic is being talked about has probably been covered on Feed Room Chemist. And if it hasn't, guess what? It can be covered in a future episode. Just shoot me the idea. So please go leave me a rating and a review for this podcast. And if you're not already following me on social media, give me a follow. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram by searching Dr. Jimmy Equine Nutritionist. And my handle is at Dr. Jimmy, which is DrJYME. All right, let's talk foundational nutrition. I have talked about the concept of foundational nutrition and functional nutrition kind of as little sidebars in past episodes, but I feel like it's time to devote a whole episode to this topic. And the reason is twofold. First, I'm having all of these little epiphanies of my own on the human nutrition front since I've started treating my own nutrition program much more like I handle the nutrition programs for horses. A horse has a research established need for each nutrient, and my goal as an equine nutritionist is to balance a diet to meet those established needs based on the horse's individual body size, their work level, their age, and their life stage. Well, guess what? Humans are no different. There are research established needs based on our body weight, our activity level, our age, and our life goals. There's another commonality between human and equine nutritionists, and that is that they battle a plethora of bad diets and subpar supplements that are backed by, let's just say, highly creative graphic designers and brilliant marketing teams and wonderful business plans, right? I mean, how does the average person even begin to sort through all of the fluff, right? Like, what is helpful? What is not? I mean, there are paid endorsees, there are incentivized testimonials, and just constant bombardment from companies in what seems like this never-ending battle to your pocketbook. So that's why I wanted to put this episode out. I want to draw a very clear line in the sand and help people understand what foundational nutrition is and how it is different from functional nutrition. Okay, so let me repeat that. Foundational nutrition is different from functional nutrition. Okay. So foundational nutrition is what everything is based on. Okay. Just like it sounds, it's the foundation of the horses being the foundation of the diet. Okay. Without proper nutrition in place, functional nutrition cannot do its job. Okay. So if you don't have foundational nutrition, functional nutrition is not going to get you where you want to go. And, you know, in all honesty, if you take care of meeting all foundational nutritional needs for your horse, you may not even need functional nutrition, right? Depending on your horse's individual situation. Trust me, I love functional nutrition because that's where all of the quote cutting edge research and biohacking stuff happens. But I will never recommend a functional supplement to someone if I know they are missing foundational components, right? You have to spend the money on getting the foundation right to begin with. All right, where do you start then? Well, my recommendation would be, number one, if you can, work with an equine nutritionist, right? Because we are trained in foundational nutrition, right? We can work through the stuff with our eyes closed. It's not rocket science, but it is a lot of math and a lot of numbers and a lot of weighing and a lot of measuring, okay? And so if you're not into that kind of stuff, I don't recommend venturing out into this on your own. But if you are into those kinds of things and you are a little bit of a DIYer, right, a do-it-yourselfer, I'll give you some guidance on how to get started so that you have at least an idea of a direction to go. First step, go buy a book, right? The book is the National Research Council's Nutrient Requirements of Horses, and it's the 6th revised edition. That's our most current version as of now, okay? I will drop a link to that book in the show notes. We often call this the NRC, right? National Research Council. So the NRC for horses. This book is going to provide you with everything we know, or at least what we knew up to the time of publication, in terms of what horses need from the standpoint of foundational nutrition. This book will explain how to classify the activity level of your horse, right? So that helps you understand how many calories they need, how many grams of protein to feed each day, how many grams of macro minerals they need, how many milligrams are required for each micro mineral, okay? So it is going to provide established guidelines for vitamins. It even provides average nutritional values for common types of forages and anything that you might want to feed to your horse. I mean, I'm talking anything from oats all the way to things like potato meal and citrus pulp. Okay. If you want to know the nutritional value of something and you don't have an actual lab test on it, because that would be the preferred number one stance, would get it analyzed, get a test on it. But if you don't have that, the NRC will at least get you in the ballpark. So once you have the numbers, or what we call the nutritional requirements, right, that you've gotten out of this book, you have the first piece of the puzzle for setting up the foundation of the diet. So here's where it can get a little bit tricky though, right? Horses don't read books, and the established numbers can't consider the whole picture of the horse, right, in real life. So let me give you an example. In the human nutrition world, people get really hung up on calories, right? So I'm going to use this as an example because it's easy for us to understand. They say things like, I'm going to eat, you know, 1500 calories a day, period. And they don't consider the source of those calories, right? So as long as the number of calories they put in their mouth each day is at or under 1500, they think that they're doing good. Well, that's not true, because that number does not account for how the body uses each type of macronutrient that comes from those calories that were eaten. Let me explain it a little bit more. So let's say in one hand, I have this nice, warm, fresh, glazed donut straight out of a boiling pot of liquid fat. And this donut is 350 calories. Okay. In the other hand, I have a 5-ounce sirloin steak. It is also 350 calories. Okay. So a donut or a steak, that is the choice, right? They're the same calories. If the only thing I'm considering is calories, the choice is equal. There would be no repercussions for going with one over the other. But we know that's not the case. There are repercussions. There are consequences. There are serious consequences for eating donuts all day versus eating steaks all day. Okay. We know that if we ate that donut every day for a year, our body would both look and feel different than if we chose to eat steak every day for a year. Okay. Now, our body responds to the composition of the food, not necessarily to how many calories it contains, right? Now, it does respond somewhat to the calories, but that is not the exclusive. Okay. So let me go a little bit further. The donut contains 20 grams of fat along with its 350 calories. The steak contains 20 grams of fat along with its 350 calories. So the two are still looking pretty equal if you're just looking at black and white numbers on the paper, right? They're both 350 calories. They're both 20 grams of fat. Now, the difference is in the carbohydrate and the protein content. So two macronutrients, right? That donut has 40 grams of carbs. On the flip side, the steak has 40 grams of protein, okay? The body is going to respond very differently at a metabolic level to carbs versus protein. So the carbs from that donut are basically going to be very quickly converted into sugar and used for very fast energy. It's going to cause a spike in your blood glucose. It's going to cause a response from insulin, which means you're going to get a spike in your insulin. And when the body realizes then that it's been sitting in a chair all day and it doesn't actually need that energy, it's got to do something with it. So it's going to go store it somewhere on your body as fat. Okay. Now back to the steak. Your body needs protein so that it can be broken down into amino acids to be used for the body, within the body, right? So after the digestive system deconstructs the steak, breaks it down into these little amino acid chains, these amino acids are then sent throughout the body to do things like building muscle, supporting connective tissue, synthesize hormones, help in the generation of new cells, make babies, support brain function. I mean, literally everything that happens in your body requires amino acids at some level. Okay, so feeding your body 350 calories and 20 grams of fat in the form of a steak is radically different than feeding your body 350 calories and 20 grams of fat in the form of a donut. Okay. Long story, but my point is you can't formulate your horse's diet by simply looking at the numbers on a page in the NRC. You also cannot choose horse feeds. Okay, if anybody has dozed off, come back to me right here. You cannot just choose horse feeds based on whatever the percent protein or calories are on a feed tag, okay? You have to have some understanding of how the body utilizes macronutrition and what the goal is for that horse, right? So if you have a two-year-old racehorse who is running and working at the highest level of intensity, you need some carbs. If you have a 20-year-old senior horse who is babysitting the kids and the grandkids, you need to lean on quality protein, okay? Those two horses are in different life stages and they have radically different nutritional needs. It's kind of like comparing the body of a teenager to the body of a 60 or a 70-year-old person, right? There are things that a teenager can, quote, get away with eating that an adult simply can't. And I'm not just talking about body composition. I'm talking about digestive function. Do you get heartburn? Does it affect your ability to sleep at night? All the things that creep in on us as humans as we age, okay? I say all of that to kind of drive home this point that what works for one horse isn't necessarily going to work for the next horse. And it takes someone with experience and understanding of the metabolic processes in the body to help navigate that. Then, on top of all of that, horses themselves are individuals. So even if you have two, let's say you have two 8-year-old geldings in your barn, they are doing the same amount of work. You might have to feed them different depending on their genetics, their medical history, and even their personality traits. I mean, think of five people who are the exact same age and sex as you. Do you guys eat the same? Do you look the same? Do you act the same? No. And horses are individuals as well. And so this is where the quote art of feeding horses meets the quote science and math of feeding horses. I tell you what, I have worked with people who try to put together a horse's diet by looking only at the numbers, right? They want every horse to fit in this perfect little box, and they expect every situation to be black or white, right? They forget that horses are gray. They are very, very gray, right? It is not often that you meet a barn full of horses that fit in the exact same box. And honestly, this is where my heart goes out to boarding facilities. I mean, how difficult is it for them to try to offer a structured program for X cost and have it be exactly what is needed for every horse? Like, that is a serious challenge. It can be done, but it is not easy. And you have to be willing to make some adjustments for certain horses in terms of increased or decreased feeding rates of that same feed, or the ability to provide supplementation on top of the base program, or maybe even having to adjust the types of hay that a certain set of horses get versus another set of horses. So that is a hard act when you have a barn full of horses that have a really big range in size and age and activity level. Then on the flip side, let's say you're running a training facility for race or futurity horses and everything in the barn is always the same age, right? They're under the, because they only come in under the program for, you know, X number of months or, you know, X year, like one, like their 2-year-old year, 3-year-old year, 4-year-old year, you know, whatever it is, like everybody's pretty similar and they're all under the same training regimen. They're probably all the same breed. They're probably all very similar genetics. Like if you're in that kind of a situation, it's a lot easier to dial in the number of concessions that have to be made per horse. It's going to be less, right? Like you can dial that nutrition in a little bit tighter and keep everyone on a little bit more of a consistent program and not have to do so many like one off, you know, this horse needs X amount of, you know, grain more than these other horses, or that one has to be on this different hay, or this one has to get these two supplements added on top, right? It's just all of that can be a major pain for someone who is trying to run a business of boarding horses. All right. This is where it's important to know your horse and know the horses that, so, okay, let me back up a second. It's important to know your horses. And it's important for you to know the horses of those who you are getting nutritional advice from, okay? Especially like, so let's take this example. Let's say that you're getting nutritional advice from a trainer that you respect. Number one, okay, do they know and understand nutrition, or have they just been feeding horses their whole life? Because trust me, there's a difference. But then number two, what kind of horses are they feeding, right? If they are riding 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds under intense training schedules, you might want to think twice before you do the exact same thing with your 15-year-old horse, right? So a nutritionist is going to be really valuable in those situations for helping you sort all of those kinds of things out. But back to those of you who want to try to go this on your own, here's the black and white of it, right? Number one, you go to the NRC, that book that I told you about earlier in the episode, okay? It's also in the show notes. You go to the NRC and you identify your horse's nutritional requirements, okay? These will be based on body weight. So you have to first know the actual weight of your horse, right? And I highly, highly recommend that you go get that weight on a scale so that you have a live weight. Don't try to body tape this. I mean, body taping will get you, you know, close, but it's not super accurate. Okay. So weigh your horse, take him to the vet, get a weight, take him to the co-op, walk it across the truck scales, you know, do whatever you need to do. Just get creative, get a weight on your horse. And then you've got to convert that weight from pounds to kilograms. If you're in the United States, right, you're going to talk pounds in your weight, but all of your numbers are going to be based off of kilograms. So you need to convert your pounds of your horse into kilograms. So you do that by dividing by 2.2. And then you go find that chart in the back of the book. So to make this easy for those of you, if you have an 1100 pound horse, you need to go to the chart in the NRC that is listed for the 500 kilogram horses. Okay. Once you're on that page, then you have to go to figure out your horse's life stage, or I think they list it as type in the NRC. So the examples will be, you know, adult maintenance, growing horses, pregnant mares, working horses, etc. So once you figure out which type your horse is, then you can scan across the page and you just write down every number for every nutritional component on your horse's line. Okay. So this will be calories, protein, lysine. It'll be your macro minerals, your trace minerals, and your vitamins. These are your horse's daily needs. It's their daily requirements is what we call it. Okay. They have to have that much of each of these items every 24 hours, right? Third step, we know what our horse needs. Now we need to see what our current diet is providing, right? And the only way to know this is to test your hay and go look at your feed labels and your supplement labels, right? So while you are waiting for your hay analysis to come back, which for those that have missed it in the past, Equa Analytical is my favorite place to send to because they report in horse numbers, and that's important, right? Don't send it to someone who's going to report back it with TDN and, you know, net energy lactation and all these dairy and cattle numbers, right? That's not going to help you. You need horse numbers. So that's why I recommend that you send your hay off to Equa Analytical. Okay, so while you're waiting for your hay analysis to come back, you can go ahead and get a weight on what you've been feeding, right? So figure out how much two flakes of hay really weighs. How many pounds is your scoop of grain, right? Those are important pieces that you'll need to know in order to do your math, okay? So fourth step, once you get the results back on your hay analysis, you can start doing that math to determine how many pounds of your hay you need to feed to meet the amount of calories that are needed by your horse. Okay, so let's say your hay tests, let's say it comes back as 0.8 megacalories per pound. Okay, that's just another way of saying that each pound of your hay will provide 800 kilocalories or calories. If your horse has a calorie requirement of 18 mcals or 18,000 kilocalories, you would need to feed 22.5 pounds per day of that hay to meet those calories. Okay. And that's great, but then when you look at the rest of the nutrients provided by your hay, when you feed 22.5 pounds of it, you will find that it is short in many minerals and vitamins. So now what? This is where you come into step five. This is where you get to choose between a diet balancer or a fortified feed to meet the gaps or deficiencies of the forage. Okay, this means that you get to do a little bit more math. I highly recommend using a spreadsheet for all of this because you will be making a lot of changes and edits before it's all finished. So the goal at the end of the day is to meet or exceed the horse's daily requirements as set forth by the NRC. You don't want to be under on any of these numbers. Over is always better because the NRC is set forth as a guide for preventing deficiency, right? It's not a guide for what is optimal. And that brings me to my last point. Each nutritionist is going to have some level of experience and opinion on what is optimal for each horse. So unless you are working with someone fresh out of school or someone trying to live in like this black and white world, like I talked about earlier, you are likely going to end up giving your horse a diet that exceeds the NRC established levels, especially in certain nutrients, right? Not necessarily all of them, okay? Because there are certain ones that we need to be mindful that we stay lower on, right? Or more at that exact amount, maybe just a tick over. We don't need to be doing like 200 and 300% on calories, right? You're going to end up with a fat horse. But there are certain nutrients that are better to have at a little bit higher levels. So there are certain trace minerals that I will ratchet up a bit for my performance horses. There's certain amino acids I'll ratchet up a little bit for performance horses. And so, you know, there are just certain nutrients that are okay to go up. There are certain nutrients that you need to be a little bit careful of. And then you also have to be mindful that you don't throw ratios way out of balance on different minerals. And because there are mineral to mineral interactions that happen in the body and there are vitamin to mineral interactions. And you just need to be mindful and aware of all of that as you're manipulating what your horse gets. So an experienced nutritionist can certainly help you work through all of those things. Now, I have said this before, but at the end of the day, feeding horses is really as much art as it is science. And on top of that, you know, science is ever evolving. And what we ask these horses to do on a daily basis is always increasing. Horses are being bred for very specific talents, and they are being asked to do things at younger and younger ages all the time, right? So how we support them nutritionally makes a big difference. The take-home message here: the nutrients provided by the NRC are your foundational components. If you are not meeting these basic foundational needs, you must start there, okay? There is no amount of magic gut supplement or super hoof product that will fill those gaps. In fact, by skipping the foundation, those functional supplements are at risk for failing miserably, which just drains your bank account, right? So if you're not sure whether you're meeting calories, protein, amino acid, trace mineral levels, whatever it is, all of the things for your horse, then your horse may be at risk for a faulty foundation. And I highly, highly recommend that you get connected with someone who can help, right? So I'm going to drop some links in the show notes where you can go learn more, go pick up the NRC. And then if you're still confused about what to do with your horse, you can always reach out for a free nutrition consult with the team at Bluebonnet Feeds. And last but certainly not least, there's a post for this episode on the Dr. Jimmy Facebook and Instagram channels, and I'd love to continue the conversation over there, so feel free to join me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.